The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Are Singaporeans investing for their future? Actually, I get scared whenever this question is asked. Interestingly, a study done by OCBC Bank, one in three working adults in Singapore do not invest or they don't find ways to grow their money. So OCBC Bank recently launched their OCBC Financial Wellness Index, and this is the first time such a comprehensive study of Singaporeans' state of financial health has been conducted. The study was done in May this year, and it also found that many Singaporeans are also poorly equipped for financial emergencies, and they are far from ready to enjoy their retirement. In fact, more than 70% of respondents were not on track with their retirement plans, 65% accumulating enough funds to build their lifestyle after retirement. So, why are Singaporeans not investing? Are they scared? What findings came out of this study? Well, in the studio, we have with us Vasu Menon, Executive Director of Investment Strategy, Wealth Management Singapore at OCBC Bank. Vasu, good morning.
Good morning, Elliot.
And Nicole Fu, Vice President of Market Research Group Customer Experience at OCBC Bank. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning, Elliot.
Thank you so much for coming by the studio, especially Vasu. 1.5 years later, finally, we got you in. Nicole, you are the lead researcher for this OCBC Financial Wellness Index, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so perfect people to talk about this topic. I think to start us off, what made OCBC want to do this financial wellness index? Let's start with Nicole.
Okay, so you know we have this thing, the World Happiness Index, to really tell us how happy a nation is. But we thought that there's no one definitive benchmark okay. to really understand how well we are doing financially as a country. So we thought this is a good time for us to go about embarking on this study mm-hmm. to really understand how well Singaporeans are doing financially. And you mentioned before we went out in May, we put 2,000 working adults aged between 21 to 65, and they were surveyed online on 44 questions about 26 indicators, which when taken together will paint a comprehensive picture of one's financial wellness.
Vasu, I just want to get your initial reaction. How did you react when you saw these numbers?
Well, to some extent, you know, we've got anecdotal evidence that
we're in trouble.
In some ways, you know, I mean, yeah. I deal with friends, I talk to people, and, you know, you get the impression that the survey actually kind of confirms what we know. But what struck me was, you know, a very significant percentage of Singaporeans not being prepared for retirement. Also, a significant percentage who are not investing in the markets. And, you know, significant percentage who think that investing in the markets equates to gambling.
Right.
So, you know, the retirement aspect, the investment aspect, in some way surprised me. I didn't expect the percentages to be as high as this.
Very interesting. I know the study segmented the population according to married, then you've got singles, but you also have this sandwich generation. And I got a feeling I fall somewhere in this sandwich generation. But could either of you help me define the sandwich generation?
Yeah, so the sandwich generation, we define them as people who have to support both their parents and their children financially. And I can attest to that because I'm one of them as well.
Okay, I got no children. Unless you consider my cat my child. Let's talk about the 10 pillars that define financial wellness. These are 10 pillars that were identified in the study.
Yeah, so the 10 pillars generally include saving habits, whether you have enough protection from financial emergencies, whether you have regular investments, have you planned it adequately for your retirement, do you do your regular reviews with a financial planner, how about your gambling habits, do you take part in excessive speculation, how about your borrowings, do you borrow often from your loved ones, and then spending beyond your means, as well as whether you can manage your debts. So we identified these 10 broad pillars covering about 26 indicators.
I'd like to get the thoughts of the both of you as parents. Starting off with you, Vasu, you have young children.
That's right.
And, you know, I come from a generation where my parents didn't know a lot about investing. And money management was really just saving money or putting it in a biscuit tin. Do you think that these results really largely have to do with how parents have educated their children in investing, or perhaps parents even taking the step to jumpstart their children's investment?
I think that's quite important. I mean, my kids are still very young. Yeah. I mean, I've got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. It's a bit early to jumpstart them, but nevertheless, you know, they listen to me on Money FM. they watch me on TV, and, yeah. you know, hopefully in time to come, they would develop an interest in financial markets, on analysis, and so on and so forth. So parents have a role to play.
Yeah.
Schools have a role to play. The individual eventually has the most important role to play, because you've got to put in the effort in understanding markets, investments, and then, you know, it has to come from within.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
So, I mean, institutions like ourselves, OCBC, can nudge investors and, you know, individuals forward. This survey basically raises awareness, and I think that's a good starting point, right? But eventually, it's the individual. And I think the awareness that if you don't do something about it, you could be in trouble many years down the road. So you need to have the foresight, and I think we need to ingrain, implant that into individuals so that, you know, they will be quite targeted.
Easiest way out is if you don't know anything about it, go find the experts who do. That helps, right?
Well, that helps to some extent, you know, but you need to do your own research.
Fair enough.
And there's a lot of information. Yeah. You can find information online. In our case, we've got a lot of information on our website. You've got videos available. Mm-hmm. We've got the OCBC Financial Masterclass. We've got OCBC Wealth Hacks, things that make it easy for you to actually get up to speed. So there's no lack of information. Eventually, you've got to make your own informed decisions and be accountable for what you do. So yes, experts can help. It's like a gym instructor and a trainer. Mm-hmm. They can push you to some extent, but eventually you've got to take ownership of your own destiny.
Nicole, you fall into the sandwich generation, people supporting both aged parents and your children as well. And looking at this survey, do you have any peers perhaps in the same bracket? Any thoughts on why they're not investing in really? Are they doing anything to help themselves in this situation?
Well, I suppose if you're part of the sandwich generation, there's this tension going on between, a lot of your family obligations that you have to bear, as well as at the same time, you're also trying to build up your wealth accumulation as well. So there's this pulling apart in two directions.
Okay.
You're trying to balance both at the same time. For myself, I find that my financial obligations to both my parents and the children, I still can manage that. But then, however, while those come to the forefront, when it comes to investing, and when it comes to building up my retirement funds, that kind of like take a backseat as well.
Sure.
Yeah, so from this study, we found that the sandwich generation, they are more likely to have unsecured debts compared to the Singapore national average. 31% of those in the sandwich generation actually have unsecured debts compared to the national average of 27%. And more of us actually worried about money at some point in the past 7 days when the survey was taken.
And the reality is the sandwich generation is really going to grow as we get into this whole aged population situation that we're in, very much like Japan. The next question has to do with women and how they, according to the study at least, how they regard investing as a form of gambling. Nicole, to get your thoughts, and as a woman yourself,
yes,
do you agree that the view of investing as a form of gambling?
Well, for myself, it could be a biased response coming from me because I'm from the bank itself. Yeah, but we found from the study that women are generally more averse to investing than men. 39% of women do not have investments compared to 31% for men. This is especially so for women in their 20s, of which they have a misconception about investing, like you mentioned. 40% of them regard investing as a form of gambling.
Sure.
Well, I suppose this stems from generally a lack of awareness of what investment is and how much risk is appropriate for one to take.
Okay.
The amount of risk that your peers take may not apply to yourself because it really depends on a lot of other factors also. So I suppose, generally speaking, we do have very good basic habits. We are saving regularly. We put aside some of our money from our monthly income as savings. By and large, we also have enough insurance coverage and we are disciplined in sticking to our budget. So basic financial habits like this are okay. But when it comes to more sophisticated things like investment, the general lack of awareness is very prominent.
What's it like living with an executive director of investment strategy? Does your wife share that same sentiment that, you know, investing is gambling? Or did she at the start, perhaps?
Well, you know, my wife, to some extent, was clueless when it came to investing in the markets.
Okay.
But having been married for 5 years now, she's learning quite a bit from me. I mean, I read, I speak to her about it. She listens to Money FM, by the way. She's driving right now and probably listening in. And we share quite a bit, you know, so she's come up to speed quite a bit. But generally, you know, I would say that one reason why women are more averse to investing is because by nature, they are conservative and the markets haven't helped. Elliot,
yes.
The markets have been extremely volatile in the last 5-10 years, and that has led to even greater aversion. Because women, by nature, are very careful relative to men.
Yes.
So when the markets are as volatile as they are or have been in the last 10 years, I think that, you know, puts women off, makes them more averse, makes them even more careful. And I think that's what comes through in the study. But more and more women are getting up to speed. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the only difference.
Yeah, that's why I believe that ladies are the best people to manage the house finances and expenses. Vasu Menon, Executive Director of Investment Strategy Wealth Management Singapore at OCBC Bank, as well as Nicole Fu, Vice President of Market Research Group Customer Experience at OCBC Bank, in the studio with me. Nicole, you were the lead researcher for this index.
Yes.
How is the index score and what was Singapore's score, like exam result?
Oh, wow. Yeah, so this is the interesting point. So the index is scored from a scale of 0 to 100.
Okay.
And this being the first year, Singapore scored an index of 63 for this year. So moving forward, we hope to conduct this every year and hopefully we can check to see whether Singaporeans have improved and hopefully not deteriorated in this index. So for this year, it's 63. Now, what does 63 mean? This means that most respondents have started but are behind on most indicators. So from 0 to 100, let me just give a short explanation of what each of these scale means. So if a person has a score of 0 to 24, you're not doing too well. It means that you have hardly taken any action on most of the indicators. If you have a score of 25 to 49, it means that you have just started or are intending to start working on these indicators. Mm-hmm. Or if you have a score of 50 to 74, it means that you have started but you're behind on most of the indicators. And then if you're scored in the higher end, 75 to 100, well, congratulations, you're ahead on almost all indicators.
But really, it comes down to very simple things like having a good savings plan, having some form of investment plan, or even the right kind of insurance plan, because all of this, and these are very, very basic things we're talking about here. For those in the sandwich population, they've taken more measures to prepare themselves for the future, and they're doing so by reviewing their financial plans yearly, but they're still not quite free from financial gaps. For example, 31% still had unsecured debts compared with the Singapore average of 27%. Why is this still happening despite them taking these measures, Vasu?
Well, you know, I think essentially with the sandwich generation, you know, they are being pulled two ways. They've got to look after their kids, they've got to look after their parents, you know, so they're financially stretched. And as a result, some of them turn to unsecured debt, unfortunately, and that affects them negatively. But if you look at the overall survey, I think what struck me was that, you know, many of them do not plan sufficiently for retirement. Retirement adequacy is quite lacking. And I think one reason for that is because retirement is something that, you know, is still quite far away for many people, even in the sandwich generation. Okay. Maybe you're in your 30s, early 40s, and you might think retirement is 65, that's 20 years away. So I've got a lot of time on my hands, so I can afford to wait. So complacency, procrastination, and sometimes it's just simply a case of not knowing what to do, where to start.
Okay.
You know, you hear this big word called retirement planning, but you say, okay, where do I start? Mm. And I tell you what, let's do it tomorrow, day after tomorrow, because, you know, let me go to the bank or ask a financial expert down the road. So I think it's just kicking the can down the road. So I think the key thing here is all of us, we've got to take stock of our financial situation and do something about it, you know, get started. And I think that's what comes through in the survey. I mean, people are aware, but they're not moving.
Yeah, I think also we're not faced with the reality, or we haven't woken up from the reality that we're very different from our parents. Our parents used to talk about, oh, I retire at 55 when I collect my CPF. And then they seemed happy, but, you know, inflation and all that, very two different things, two different times. Nicole, could you help me out? Are there different reasons for financial gaps between the age groups that were surveyed?
Yes, very interesting findings as well if you look at different age groups. So, for example, for those in the 20s, they are raring to go. They save very conscientiously. They actually started investing quite early. However, because of this haste to actually get to early starts, they tend to do a lot of excessive speculation as well.
Okay.
So we need to actually give them the right guidance. How do you invest wisely without partaking in this excessive speculation? In the 30s, because that's where your family obligations start to rise as well. You start to get married, you start to get a new house, you have a mortgage loan to actually support.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you're also trying to build up your wealth. So also in a haste to do so, there's put in different directions. So that's also where we need to actually build up, look out for them and try to build a safety net, help them to build a safety net for themselves.
I want to get your opinion because both of you are from different age groups. Obviously, Nicole's younger. We have to say that. Is it too late for someone to start planning if they're behind in retirement? I'm close to 40. I feel I'm too late. What are your thoughts, Nicole?
I guess it's never too late. At least you can actually start somewhere.
Okay.
I guess the most important thing is to really sit down, have a review, have a look at what you have a look at what you want and what are the areas that are lacking.
Okay.
And then having some form of guided advice from a qualified financial planner to really advise on what is the best strategy to bring you forward to meeting your target or even exceed your target. So it's never too late.
where age is concerned, Vasu, at my age, maybe it's a case of I have to manage my expectations for retirement. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, Elliot, you're still very young.
Thank you.
Being 40 is still very young, you know. So, I mean, you still have a good runway ahead of you. You still have enough time. It's still not too late. It's good that you're aware. And hopefully this program makes you even more aware, you know. And I think the first question is you got to ask yourself how much you need to retire comfortably. Okay. And, you know, there are calculators available on the OCBC website, on the OCBC Life Goals website, where you can actually key in figures and, you know, estimate how much you need to retire comfortably, you know. So I think it's not too late. And I think the key thing is to get started and to grow your money through investments, but invest prudently.
Sure.
Don't speculate the markets. But I think it's never too late for anyone, even in their 50s. I think the important thing is to take that first step and, you know, at least try and reduce the gap.
Nicole, just to wrap things up as the lead researcher, were there any other interesting findings from this study, perhaps something positive?
Oh, yes. Well, okay, we talk about financial health all the time, but we also asked the respondents about their physical health as well. It's very good because we found that a high percentage of us actually partake in some kind of exercise at least once a week, and 88% of us actually make an effort to eat healthily. So we are quite mindful about taking care of ourselves physically. So at the same time, we also want people to be aware that, you know, other than taking care of yourself well in terms of your physical health, you should also look at your financial health. And that's where we have these statistics to let you know that, hey, physical health is just one part of things. Your financial health got to come in hand as well.
All right. Vasu Menon, Executive Director of Investment Strategy Wealth Management Singapore at OCBC Bank, as well as Nicole Fu, Vice President of Market Research Group Customer Experience at OCBC Bank, in the studio with me this morning. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.